Hello and welcome to Witness Rugby Chat, episode 2 for 2025 with myself, James Gordon and Mike Parsons. Quite a bit for us to catch up on over the past couple of weeks, 2 weeks since we did the last episode. Witness got their 2025 campaign underway with a Challenge Cup win away at Rochdale 10 days ago now, Mike, so we won't dwell on it too much, but what were your overarching thoughts from that game?
Without being spectacular, it was job done, wasn't it? And I thought out of the whole weekend, it was the tightest scoreline. And for Rochdale, you got to give them a bit of credit. You know, they made the game of it going into half time with the score the way it was. You know, the narrative was there in front of you for it to be a blowout scoreline, and they come out, didn't they? Swinging, scored a couple of tries, and made a real game of it. I think, like Alan said in the question and answers session the other evening, somebody asked about why we were so good in attack, essentially, against Warrington, and it was a bit more difficult against Rochdale. And he said, well, sometimes it's down to the pace of the game, and the more time the ball carriers have on the ball, you have a lot longer to think, and it becomes a little bit more difficult. And we probably got a little bit frustrated, but I think there was plenty of positives there. I thought Martin Riley's first stint was fantastic. I thought his chasing from marker, I think there was an occasion where he made four tackles on the spin, and he's only going to get better and better, isn't he? And you can see what type of player he is and what we missed last season. And we've probably got a bit more to see out of Martin in terms of his ball skill as well. I thought Deck Patton's side of the defence, I thought, was a little bit off. And I think Joe Edge had a fantastic game, and again, similar to Martin, showing us a bit what we missed and the quality in the centre he could potentially have. I know it's a position I speak about a lot that I'd maybe like to have strengthened a bit more, and a lot of other people as well. But if he can show the form as what he's done in the Warrington and the Rochdale game, then that could be... it could be a massive difference in terms of us being a bit more ruthless and scoring more points.
Yeah, I thought, obviously you mentioned Riley there, but I thought Danny Langtree should have got man of the match. I think Joe Edge got man of the match, didn't he? But I thought Danny Langtree was man of the match. But my thought process on probably all three of them, because of course Joe Edge missed quite a bit of last season through injury, is that Langtree and Riley are almost like new signings themselves. I know Langtree managed to play 10 games, I think, last season. Whereas Langtree and Riley, although they were at the club last season, there you would think they're probably in the run on 13, and they're almost like new players. So while they're not new to the club necessarily, it's almost as if they are new in some regard. I thought at half time, I thought Widnes could have won by whatever score they wanted, to be honest. I thought they'd been very comfortable in the first half, probably should have had more points on the board than they did. But as you say, credit to Rochdale to come out. They scored a lovely try at the start of the second half. And I don't feel like they ever wobbled Widnes, to be honest. Even when they got it back to 16-12, I don't think Widnes were ever too concerned. But it probably shouldn't have got to that point, maybe. And I suppose perhaps with all due respect to Rochdale, perhaps a better team might have punished Widnes for letting them back in the way that they did. But in terms of the game, in terms of the cup game's all about getting the result. I know the 1895 cup's probably more important than the Challenge Cup these days, because there's a more realistic chance of getting to Wembley and that, but obviously got through to the game this weekend, which we'll touch upon a bit later on, and then you might have a crack against a Super League team in the next round, and I'm sure the club would be hoping that there's a home tie in there. Super League team at home, obviously don't, I think, have we played, do we play Salford? Is that the only time we've played a Super League team, I think, in the last,
yeah,
in the last few years? That might have been, was that even in the first year? I remember Salford, losing to Salford quite heavily.
Yeah.
It might be in 2021, thinking about it. But yeah, that's ultimately what you're hoping for from the Challenge Cup. And yeah, we'll see what happens. So yeah, that win over Rochdale, set Widnes up with a trip to North Wales Crusaders, which is this Sunday in Colwyn Bay. If you've not been, I would recommend it. Although I think I went in September. I imagine the weather's probably a bit better in September than it is February, but it's a nice rugby league away day, that. So I'd get along to that if you can. A few little bits of news that Widnes have put out since we last recorded. The Future Vikings programme is returning for 2025. So this is to develop the next generation of rugby league talent. It's effectively the perhaps not, well, an alternative, I guess, to having the academy set up that once was, or the scholarship set up that once was, as the club looked to try and get that pathway back going. It's for under 11s to under 17s. I think I heard right, it might have been you that said it actually, Mike, last year, that one of the players who was on the programme last year actually got picked up by Warrington, which is both,
yeah, and
he's both good and bad, but yeah.
Well, yeah, and I believe from the Q&A session as well, there's a lad called Zach from the Hornets and stuff who has been part of it last year, who's been doing pre-season and at Widnes as well alongside the team. So that's a good sign. I believe, you know, clubs are aware of him and are after him, but he's obviously training with us, and I think that's great, linking the community. At the end of the day, like you say, good and bad, but you can only make do with what you've got, and unfortunately it isn't a proper academy. You've just got to make the most of it. So yeah, I thought that was a bit of good news.
Yeah, I think you might see now in the next few years that some players might consciously make the decision to play part time because the money's dropping out of Super League, really. So they're clinging on to being full time, let's be honest. Other than even the clubs with money, I mean, even St. Helens are struggling a bit. And I think you'll probably see that now, where people are probably more in tune with realising that actually having a full time career in rugby is unlikely or not very lucrative. I mean, we've always known it's not very lucrative, but it's like you say, players like him might find, well, actually, if I can play, I'm used to playing amateur, if I can play semi-pro and earn a decent bit of money on the side. So that might work in Widnes's favour, but we'll see how that rolls. The Widnes women team are taking on Great Britain Police on Sunday, 23rd of February. So that's almost a double header with the men's first home championship game against Sheffield. That's on the 23rd. So the women kick off at 12. The men, of course, kick off at 3. Season ticket holders can get into both of those games. Obviously, if you want to watch the women's game, you've got to get a full match ticket. So you've effectively got to buy a match ticket for the whole day to get into both games. You can't just watch the women and then not watch the men. But yeah, that's good for the women to get on the pitch. And then the week before is the first game of the season. Widnes away in Toulouse. If you're not making the trip, the club are live streaming the game in the Bridge Suite at the stadium. It's open from 4 p.m. There's 5 p.m. kickoff on Saturday, the 15th of Feb. It's £10 for an adult, £5 for kids. I like the idea of that, Mike. My only gripe, and it's partly because I'm elsewhere, so I can't. It'd be nice if there was an option that you could pay to stream it if you're not able to get to the Bridge Street. Now, I don't know whether that's something that might happen. I don't know whether I'm assuming it isn't going to happen, but I can't be in the Bridge Street on that Saturday evening, unfortunately. But I would have quite liked to have watched the match. So it is a bit of a shame if it's going to be live streamed that you can't get at it unless you're in the stadium. But I understand that the club are using it to make money and the Bridge Street, but it would have been nice to find a way of making money from other people as well, perhaps.
Yeah, 100%. To be honest, James, selfishly, because I'll be in the Bridge Suite, I didn't really think of it like that. But now as you come to mention it, it would have been an easy way to get even more money out of it. But I think the initiative's great. And essentially, you're trying to turn it into an extra home game, aren't you? You're not going to get quite the attendance, but you're going to get some cash for it. And why not? And I think the streaming service, it's been something that's been knocking around the championship, hasn't it, this season, where they reckon a lot of clubs are going to be looking at doing it and profiting from it because of the lack of television exposure. So maybe it's something that will grow legs with Widnes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about this before. I still don't understand why every Toulouse game isn't live streamed every Tucson game. I think surely there would, even if 100 people paid a fiver to stream, there's got to be enough interest for Toulouse games to be, Toulouse home games to be streamed, because especially it's difficult to get to Toulouse. It's not, it's even harder than getting to Catalan, really. And so, yeah, I've never quite understood why they don't just put a blanket, right, Toulouse home games are available to stream. It'll cost you £5, £10 or whatever to watch your team. You'll probably get fans who'll buy it just to watch the Toulouse game. You'll get fans, neutral fans, who'll watch it, pay to watch it, because it's rugby league. I still don't really get why they've never done that. But yeah, I had some interesting conversations with the Barrow chairman there, looking at streaming, live streaming their games. And you'll often find that clubs say, oh, well, if we live stream, people won't come. But that's not the impression that he gets, and that's not also, that's also not the approach he's taking. He's like, well, if we live, yeah, if we live stream the game, it opens you up to more people. Barrow got our league in a few times. I don't think it was last season. I think it was the season before, where Barrow effectively paid to be on our league a few times, and I think the cost was something like £1,500 or something like that to stream the game. And he said that they made money on that. So I know that they're looking at trying to do it in-house, which would obviously save a few quid. There are some, it's not quite as simple as people think to stream a game, because you need a dedicated internet connection. You obviously need to have the facility to do the paywall stuff. Which I guess is probably the reason why Widnes aren't able to do it. You need to have the platform where someone can pay £5, £10 and stream the game. And then also you need that customer service element as well, because if people are buying a game off you for £5 or £10 and they get a problem, they want someone to moan about, and they want someone to moan at and to fix it. So there's a few more things like that. It doesn't bother me particularly, just because I'm at 99% of the games I want to watch anyway. Whether it would bring more attention onto games, I don't know. I think probably there's probably more ways than streaming that could do that, but we'll see how it pans out. I think Bradford are always one who are making noise about streaming as well, aren't they? I think you would expect them, with the size of the fan base that they've got, to potentially be able to open it up.
Yeah, like I say, I think for me and stuff, if there is a way to do it, bringing it back to Widnes, I don't think that it impacts your attendance. Now, look, there may be figures out there, or there might be figures to come that prove me wrong, but I believe, certainly looking round when I'm in the North Stand, the people that go at the moment are the hardcore fans, where they'll go if we're in League One, or if they'll go if we're in Super League. The way I see it is, it's just an opportunity to A, make money of people who potentially don't come to games anymore. You know, it's an opportunity to maybe tempt them back as well. If they're watching a couple of games and they like it and they get more of an interest, makes them think about coming back for the odd game. And then obviously potentially that leads into season ticket sales. But also as well, when it hits summer, people go on holiday, don't they? And you've got an opportunity there to make money of season ticket holders who are off on holiday and they can't watch the game. Now they'll pay to watch it, and that'll happen every single week. So I do feel there is an opportunity there for not just Widnes, but the whole championship, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, all the games are streamed anyway, believe it or not. They actually, well, not all the clubs do this, but a number of the clubs actually stream via YouTube for doctors' purposes because of all the concussion protocols. Yeah. So all the clubs are having to film and stream the game on YouTube. Now, clearly that's a different proposition than presenting it to Joe Public, because of course the quality might not be as good. You've obviously not got commentary, you've not got the production element, but it is there. I mean, without, I don't know if Dan, the Widnes media man, listens to us, but without wanting to create more work for him, if you imagine if they were streaming the game, if he puts, if Widnes score a try within a couple of minutes, he could put that try out on social media, on the Facebook page, on the Twitter page, whatever, and even that I think would have a decent impact on, like you say, those lapsed fans, because let's get it right. Widnes have got probably in the region of 3,000 lapsed regular fans if you look at the attendance numbers compared to Super League. And I mean, I'm sort of taking into consideration the away fan numbers there. I know plenty of people who used to go every week who don't go now. I'm sure everyone who listens to this probably does. But if there's a way that you can, at the moment, their only way of engaging, I get they get the highlights maybe once a week or stuff, but if you can get these short bursts of clips and stuff every now and again, and on a Sunday they see a try pop up and or whatever and they see the reaction, then maybe it might do something. I'm very much on the fence in terms of the whole argument about does it stop people coming. I think clubs will always say, oh, well, if four people come and pay 20 quid each, then four people could all just buy a stream for 15 quid and you're only getting one lot of 15 quid compared to four lots of 20. I get that argument. I think you'd have to do the pricing right, I think Rugby League fans have probably shown that they're not prepared to pay what a realistic amount is. I always make the ice hockey comparison. Ice hockey is slightly different because the away games are always so far away. So their target market, the target market for ice hockey really is away fans. So they charge 15, 20 quid to stream the match because they know that realistically, if you're going to watch Nottingham in Glasgow, you're not going to travel, but you'll pay 15 quid to watch a decent quality stream. Whereas you know, Rugby League fans were turning their nose up having to pay a fiver to watch the England match against Samoa. So you've got those sort of things. I definitely think more should be done with the video coverage of Championship. It doesn't get out there. And even when we had the TV deal, did they really do that much other than show the live game? I don't know. I like the coverage and I like the Monday night game, but I still feel like there could be more like, you know, you could do top five Championship tries of the week or best clips from all the games together, where the clubs obviously do their own independent stuff. I know Featherstone are quite good at doing their stuff. They've got their own paid sort of TV thing, but when it's all hidden behind whatever, those casual fans aren't getting picked up. Anyway, get along to that, the Toulouse game, 15th of Feb in the Bridge Suite to support that. This week, the club held a Q&A. Mike was in attendance. I was not. So, Mike, the floor is yours to tell us what went on. I'll try and chip in every now and again with insight, if relevant.
Yeah, well, to be fair, it was a good night. It always is. And like Alan with a microphone, he entertains an audience, doesn't he? He really does. Likeable guy. And obviously, Foz come along as well due to JJ's newborn. And not the first time Fozard's stepped in at short notice at the quiz evening. He come along at short notice as well. So obviously just shows what the type of person he is off the field as well as obviously being a good player. But starting with the points, the relative points at the top, Alan emphasised that dual reg, it'll only be used if essential, and he backs his players and he wants to give them first opportunity to impress. Now, he did obviously state, look, if a player comes up at Warrington who's going to improve us, then we will absolutely, you know, jump on it. But the first chance goes to the Widnes player and it's up to them to keep the jersey. Off the back of that, I asked him about the relationship Warrington have got with Keighley, because they're obviously dual-regged with Keighley as well. So I said, how will that impact us? Because obviously last season there was a few issues where players were going elsewhere that it's safe to say they'd have benefited us at the time. And what he said was the relationship with Gary Chambers is absolutely brilliant. They have discussions all the time. The relationship with Keighley will be for a lot of the younger players, which was kind of the answer that I was expecting to get. Whereas the players that will be kind of offered to us will be more on the fringes of Warrington's first team. So the examples that were given, and of course, at this stage, they're only hypothetical examples, but Taylor Ray was mentioned, Ben Artill, the hooker, I think you mentioned the other week, James, Musgrove said he doesn't think he's a guaranteed starter at Warrington. And Max Wood, he was another one who was mentioned. So just for everybody listening, that's the type of player that was mentioned that you can probably say that we're going to be maybe looking at if and when we need them.
Yeah, I mean, Alan Coleman mentioned Taylor Ray. Obviously, the deal for Jake Mason broke down, and Taylor Ray would sort of fit that mould at fullback and then move Jack Owens to... Well, I think Alan Coleman basically said Jack Owens could play anywhere. So I could certainly see some merits in that. I think Hartill's actually signed for Swinton on loan now for the season. Yeah, I think I saw that yesterday or the day before, which, again, is a little bit... Yeah, that I suppose fair play for Swinton for getting that deal done, but you do scratch your head sometimes with these agreements, and then obviously players are still moving around anyway. So, and especially given Widnes's hooker situation, because I presume Doolan's probably going to be sticking around while Johnston's missing. Yeah, it's an interesting one, that. But yeah, Musgrove, I think if they could get rid of Musgrove, I think Warrington would. I don't think he doesn't play massive minutes, and he's not like a Ben Murdoch Masilaru you could chuck on for 10 or 15 and he'd make a massive impact. Now, I'm not saying he would be good for Widnes. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be, but I can see merit in that suggestion.
Well, if he does head over, James, I hope he listens to that on his way to the ground.
I've actually interviewed Zay Musgrove as well. He's a nice fella, but yeah, I just think from Warrington's point of view and the way that they play, the way that Sam Burgess has got them playing, I just think he wants long minutes out of his forwards, and Musgrove just hasn't been able to play the long minutes that he needs. And like I say, he's not that massive strike off the bench impact player. He's just he rolls his sleeves up, plods along sort of player. And I think they want players like that to be able to play for long minutes rather than just for 20 minutes at a time. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to have someone like him when Widnes come up against, say, a Bradford and the teams, like, with all due respect to all the players, but like when you turn up against Bradford, who've got established full-time players, it would certainly be useful to have someone like Musgrove available to call upon to maybe just add a little bit more steel or whatever to the pack.
Well, that's it. And like I say, in case, like say, injuries and stuff, obviously we lost Mackenzie Buckley, didn't we, from the pack as well. You know, it is a potential option there, isn't it? Early doors in the season, especially if we pick up one or two injuries, you'd be a fool not to use it. That's probably the example where if a quality player comes up that can benefit you, then you're going to go for it to try and gain an advantage, because let's have it right. Other teams do it, don't they?
Yeah, so... Talk to us a little bit more about the main news, I guess, of the Q&A night was the Widnes market discussion. Well, I guess they'd already announced it, I think, but a bit more follow-up on that.
Yeah, so I think the understanding with Stuart Murphy and Furness, he was in the room, but he wasn't on the stage. So this was a bit of a side point, really. But the common consensus was... The figure that was given, it's to keep the market going, it's going to be £15,000 a year, possibly north of that. So if you take out shirt sales and match day tickets of what probably gets sold out of the shop in comparison to what you're going to be paying, it's probably just an educated decision, isn't it, to get it back to the stadium. I know that might upset a few people, because I know quite a few people like going in and having a chat to the volunteers and stuff like that. But unfortunately, if something's not going to be profitable, certainly in rugby league, definitely in the championship, you've got to do something about it, haven't you? And sadly, the club have had to do what they've done.
Yeah, and of course, if you recall when we had the discussions around the IMG grading score, the club had to save they had a shortfall of around 20-25k, I think it was at the time, based on the their ING ranking being lower than they anticipated. So they've obviously had to make cuts to address that. I mean, I think it's probably a shame for the market, actually, that the club shop's not there. You'd like to think that having the Widnes club shop would drive them a bit of footfall. I'm surprised. I mean, I don't know what the commercial agreement was. I know, obviously, I've seen Widnes Market as a sponsor on some of the club stuff in the past, whether that was some sort of contra deal or whether the market were putting money in as a sponsor, I'm not too sure. But it seems a shame to have lost. It seems to, I can understand the club from a commercial point of view. I think I'm probably more on the side of it's a shame that the market don't see the commercial value of maybe having Widnes there and trying to use the club to get a bit more attention there. I mean, I don't go in Widnes Market myself, but I'm told by a few people that there's quite a few empty units and stuff in there now. So obviously there was the car park debacle of recent years as well. So yeah, like you say, the club are based at the stadium as it is. People know where the stadium is. Yeah, you don't get the passing trade or whatever that you might get at the market, but is there a great deal of that anymore? I'm not too sure. I think if people are going, I don't think anyone really walking past the Widnes shop anymore and thinking, oh, I might go in, or are most of the people actually seeking it out to go? And if they are seeking it out to go, then if it's at the stadium, it makes no difference because they just go there. So, yeah, but a bit of a shame, but like you say, we move on.
Yeah. So some other points from the evening as well. So a quick injury update is Ryan Ince is a couple of weeks off, 1 or 2 weeks. Gregson should be fit for this week. Alan was really keen to have him back, and he said, you know, he's raring to go and he's ready to show what Alan knows he can do. So that's good news, and it'd be good to see what Nick's got to offer at loose forward. Brett Bailey is a week off, and Regan Sumner a week or two off as well. So apart from Jordan Johnson, there's nobody on the sideline for more than a couple of weeks, which was really positive. Doolan is highly thought of by Coleman. He's done really well, apparently, in training since he's been there, and he's keen to keep him around as long as possible. So I'd imagine in the next couple of weeks, we'd be looking at locking in that signing probably before the Toulouse game. There was talk on the stage about Matty Fozard's role is going to be changing a little bit due to Jordan Johnson's injury. I think we've probably seen a little bit of that in the Rochdale game. You know, he's probably going to have to get involved in a bit more of the defensive side rather than coming on and when the game's opening up a bit, shooting and darting, conserving a bit more energy for the defensive efforts. But Foz being Foz, he'll do that anyway. He's played 80 minutes many a time, hasn't he? So if we've got another hooker in Dolan sharing the workload with him, I'm sure that'll be fine as well. Just as well with Jewel Reg the other way round. Alan mentioned obviously a lot of the project signings that we've signed, the younger guys, Adam Jones, Cameron Brown was mentioned as one as well, Brett Bailey. Them players will be loaned out at stages of the season the other way to get game time. He wants them to go and get game time and learn and develop under experienced players for clubs if obviously the opportunity isn't there to get into our team. There's a special word on Cameron Brown saying essentially we've brought him in because of his pace and he can do things certainly from fullback that nobody else in the side can do. The reality of the situation with Cameron is just because he's an overseas signing, I think he's the third youngest in the team, it was referenced. And what Alan was saying is he's not played at this level before. Obviously, he's played in Australia, but in the Championship, it's full of, obviously, ex-Super League players galore. And he said he's keen to put him alongside Gilmore, Patton, Jordan Johnson, Matty Fozard, and he's got a lot of learning to do. And once he has learned, he's confident we'll see a better Cameron Brown. It's just a case of maybe being a little bit more patient with him as well.
Yeah, I think. Sorry, Mike. I was going to say, I spoke briefly with Alan Coleman at the Warrington game, and he sort of referenced that with Brown. He sees him as something as a project that they can bring on and see how he goes throughout the year. That Warrington game is probably a good example of the sort of thing that Alan Coleman was talking about in terms of getting him defensively ready for the Championship and the bigger contacts and the bigger contests that you're going to come up against. But I think it's good that there's depth. There's at least some depth in the squad to be able to do that, which we haven't always seen in the past few years.
Yeah, 100%. And look, he had a rough night, didn't he, at Warrington? But let's have it right as well. He was on the wing, you know what I mean? I don't think we'll be seeing him there too often. I think Reece Williams coming in. For anybody who was at Rochdale, look, that's what you're just going to get off Reece Williams, innit? If there's an opportunity there, he'll score and he's reliable. So he won't have to play there either when he's called upon. And my second to last point of my notes and stuff is, you know, it kind of relates to that of bringing a bit of pace into the team and, you know, a danger man who can produce something out of nothing, and once he's through a gap, he's gone, and as more support plays, as Alan was saying, type of thing. And I do really agree with him on this, probably more than any other point. We need to be more ruthless, and by being more ruthless, you've got to have players like that in and around your squad, that when you're on top in games... There was probably a lot of times last season where you're winning at margins like 20-10, and if you get that next try, you can turn the screw and you can cut away and you can make afternoons a lot easier for yourself. But far too often, the other team scored and you got reined back in, and it was a wrestle more than what it had to be. So I think that's part of, obviously, the recruitment strategy as well, is bringing game players who can blow a game open, and hopefully we will see that in time from him.
Yeah. So was anything else mentioned, Mike, on the night?
No, just lastly, actually, and I think bold statement from Alan, I think, because I think League One's shaping up nicely and it sends us into probably a nice conversation about Crusaders, but Alan has them as finishing top of the lot in League One. He thinks that highly of them. He thinks the players that they've recruited from us, the players they've recruited from Swinton, Jake Spedding, Jordy Gibson, obviously Lloyd Roby, who we know, Owen Abel, who was already there, plus a couple of others as well. He says they're already essentially a Championship side, was his words. And in terms of what's on the pitch, Sam Wilde, Ollie Davis, and other two. And it's going to be a test. It's going to be a test on Sunday, make no mistake about it. But I think from what he was saying is the players who are fit, who didn't play against Rochdale, they're going to play against Crusaders, Nick Gregson obviously being one as well. So that's what to expect for people who are heading up there.
Yeah, well, Crusaders have already played two games. They beat Cornwall 52-0 in the previous round of the Challenge Cup, but they also won 60-0 against Newcastle in the 1895 Cup last week. So they've had 112-0 over two games. So they've warmed up for the Widnes game pretty nicely. I was looking at their team from the game against Newcastle. I'm not sure. It looks fairly strong. I can't imagine there'd be too many changes. But as you said, they've got Lloyd Roby in there. They've got Jake Spedding, who we know has got a lot of pace, even if he is not the best defensive player. He is quick. Ollie Brooks, of course. I thought Jordy Gibson played very well for Swinton last season. They've got him at half-back. A few more Widnes connections. Jack Horton came through the Widnes Academy. Liam Cooper was at Widnes under Tim Sheens, but never played. You mentioned Sam Wilde as well. And Ollie Davis, who I'd never thought really let Widnes down when he was at Widnes. So, like you say, they're probably certainly not one to take. It's certainly not a game to take for granted, that's for sure.
No, 100% not. Look, if we're not on our mettle, you know, you could get beat. I do believe that. I think it's going to be a real tough game, and not just in terms of the quality as well. You've got the side of it where, you know, the ex-players who have been released or chose to sign elsewhere, they're going to want to prove a point, aren't they? you know, Lloyd Robey, for example, you know, it was clear to see that Jack Owens was the preference at fullback. Well, he's going to want to play the best rugby he possibly can and, you know, prove Allen and Widnes wrong. So the story's all over the pitch. Jordy Gibson, I think, is a fantastic player. I think his time at Swinton, apart from having Depp Patton for a while, he's steered them round like Tom Gilmore steers us round in a struggling side most of the time. I think he's one of the most underrated players that, well, was in the Championship, and I think he'll go very well for Crusaders. And if their pack gets on top, we'll have a big say in the game. So that'll be a real battle. I'm assuming Joe Lyons will start in the halves with either Deck or Tom. So it'd be interesting what the partnership is there. But I think it's going to be a really tough game. It could be one of early doors. It could be a really exciting one.
Yeah, so Widnes will head there on Sunday. And as I say, it's a nice alternative rugby league away day. There's an athletics track around the pitch if you've not been there before, but the covered seating stand gets a decent atmosphere in because the roof over it's quite low, so you should be able to make a decent bit of noise in there if you're going. I unfortunately won't be there. I'm at a christening, sadly, so I've been told I'm not able to go that one, which is quite unfortunate. And I actually missed North Wales away last year as well. So maybe there's something, someone's trying to tell me something. Someone's trying to tell me not to go to Colwyn Bay for whatever reason, Mike. But are you predicting Widnes will go through?
I'm hoping so, yeah. I don't think it'll be a big margin. I think it'll be a tough slog. I think we'll come out on top. I'll go something like 28-18, something like that, 10-point margin. Because nobody's in full flow, are they, at this stage of the season either. And I think the disrupted pre-season because of the weather and games being cancelled and so on and so forth, players are probably that little bit undercut from match fitness as well. So, yeah, I'd say 28-18, something like that.
Right, there you go. Well, put your pounds on that and see Mike if it doesn't come in. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully after a Widnes win in the Challenge Cup, to look ahead to the new Championship season, which gets underway in a week's time. As always, please do subscribe and review and leave us a rating on wherever you listen, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, radio, wherever you listen to us. Get us on Facebook, Rugby League, Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page, and on Twitter at Widnes Rugby, widnesrugby.com as well. You can pick up all the old podcasts and get on the forum there. But from me and Mike for this week, it's goodbye for now.